Good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, February 16th, 2024, and the time is 8:30 a.m. I now call the meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I'll conduct a roll check. Rosie Morris.
Here.
Hector Cerna.
Present.
We have a quorum of all three members present today for the Audit Committee. Is there anyone wishing to address the Commission? You will need to fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes, and agenda items are to 10 minutes. First order of business this morning will be the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on December 15th, 2023. These minutes were circulated to the members in their agenda packets. Are there any objections to the minutes?
Move to accept the minutes. Rosie Morris.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion, members? Hearing none, motion carries. Next, we'll move on to item B. Commissioner Pettijohn, would you please give us your report?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, our audit committee activity report is on page 5, which you'll see there. And really, these are similar items. The internal audit risk assessment's complete. You'll hear about that momentarily. The SORM on-site consultation for the risk management program review. The documents have all been submitted, and there'll be a walkthrough this afternoon to conclude that until we get the report. And then the last item is a pending item. It's been on here for a while.
Mr. Rubin.
Yes, for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending on page 6, the audit activities, we really have no outstanding items to report, simply what is scheduled here. The Department of Information Resources, the cybersecurity consulting, which is scheduled for the penetration test a little bit later this month. And then, similar as what was just stated with SORM, we have the risk management audit area that's scheduled for the 17th of May.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Cooper.
Our report begins on page 7. We have the control penetration test that we will be discussing in executive sessions shortly. As the other two agencies, we have the SORM audit that's coming up in March, and then the Texas Workforce Commission personnel policy and procedures review, which is done basically every 6 years, will begin sometime in the third quarter of this year. And that's our report.
Thank you. I will now move on to item C. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our first quarter investment officer report begins on page 8. I'd like Moran Diamond to provide you with the report.
Good morning, Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The investment officer report begins on page 8 of your packet. Normal activity to report in the recovery fund, which is on page 8. Following up on page 9, the OCCC received an updated report from TTSTC earlier this month, and those revisions are reflected in this updated TV report. Changes were made to certain portions of allocations of TPs within the investment pool in Q1. And there was a correcting adjustment made, which is reflected here, along with changes in market value.
Any questions, members? Thank you, Ms. Dunn. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Mr. Redda.
Okay, we'll go to page 11. You'll find the department report there. There's written normal activity report. I will note there is one CD here that between the time this was printed that has come up for renewal. We did move that CD over to the Texas Treasury safekeeping simply because of a better return of about 40, 50 basis points. And that's the only change we have on that, or the only additional information on that.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Cooper.
First, it gets on page 13 on our seized to prepaid funeral accounts. We do not have any seized property at this time. On page 14, we have our trust funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund report. It shows income received of a little over $16,000, and then we have deductions of about $5,000. So, what I would call normal activity. Then, beginning on page 15, we have the insurance-funded funeral guarantee fund. Normal activity, interest received, trustee fee paid. The only thing that this does bring us over $1 million in funds, so it's kind of a milestone that we have, and that's our report.
Very good, thank you. Members, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2024 first quarter investment officers' reports?
Hector Semra, so moved.
Thank you.
Christie Morris, second.
Commissioner, any discussion, members? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it, motion carries. Item D, Commissioner Prettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our first quarter financial statements begin on page 16, and I'd like to ask Moran Diamond to provide the report.
Thank you, Commissioner. I just wanted to note a few items in a little bit more detail on the variance statement specifically. First of all, starting on revenues, overall revenues are 101% of the budget. With regard to the credit access industry, the renewal period for that industry crosses Q1 and Q2 in November and December. So we saw the renewal rates are even higher than we anticipated. Just most of those occurred in December. So we anticipate that will reconcile itself throughout the remainder of the fiscal year. And then, of course, on miscellaneous revenue, this category is higher because of higher interest earned than anticipated. With regard to expenditures, overall expenditures are 94% of the budget. With regard to information technology, some projects will be occurring later in the fiscal year rather than in Q1. And lastly, with regard to miscellaneous operating costs, insurance costs were incurred in Q1 that has been planned expenses throughout the fiscal year. Moving to the liquidity report, that's on page 18 of your packet. Total unreserved cash at the end of Q1 was $4.3 million with 6 months of operating costs available, which is within the guidelines of the Finance Commission's liquidity policy.
And also Q2 may be still high. This is since we do all our renewals in the first part of the year, most of the renewals.
Yeah.
That tends to be cyclical for us and tends to be the higher period for liquidity.
Any questions, members? Thank you, Ms. Hunt. That concludes yours.
That concludes our report.
Commissioner Redd.
Yes, our report begins on page 19, and Antonia Antop, Director of Operations, will present the summary.
Good morning, members. Our first quarter financials begin on page 19, and as shown on the following page in the variances, our revenues are 0.9% over budget, and our expenditures are about 6% under budget. It's still very early in the year, so all the categories are within normal ranges. The one thing I want to point out is the travel. We're at this point at 35% over budget during the first quarter. We have reduced our travel budget for years, not knowing what the level will be. And finally, those levels are picking up with travel to exam locations. We should see this gap closing a bit in the second quarter due to the holidays for reduced travel. But the trend probably will continue that we will be slightly over budget for travel this year. Our liquidity report is on page 21. Again, the first quarter we're at 5.2 months, and this will continue to increase in the second quarter, and just because this is our renewal of mortgage licenses, and then in the third and fourth quarter we'll see that going down, although we still expect that year-end is our lowest point of reserve normally, but we still expect to be in compliance with the Finance Commission policy on reserves.
Any
questions,
members?
Thank you.
Commissioner Cooper.
Our report begins on page 22, and as you know, our CFO retired recently. We have not filled that position yet, so I'm going to ask Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez to provide the report. Use your CFO hat.
Good morning, members. Wendy Rodriguez for the Department of Banking. On page 22 begins the report for the Department of Banking, first quarter operating statement and budget analysis. You will note that our revenue is 5.2% above our projections, and the expenditures are 5.4% below our forecasted expenditures for the year, or for the quarter. On page 23, is the detail of the third quarter variances. For discussion purposes, I do have three areas to highlight. The first is the penalties for non-depository supervision. The variance is due to higher than anticipated collective penalties. And just of a special note, of the $746,000 collected, approximately 66% of that is related to one multi-state settlement that is related to one MSB. That's just a little bit of color for that. The next is personnel costs, more specifically employee benefits and additional health and retirement contributions. This is a positive variance related to the 48 vacancies that remained in November. At the end of November, we had 18 of those were administrative, 30 of those were examiner. But I would like to note that we continue to make progress on our vacancies. The department recently just hired a second group of more than 10 examiners in January. And by the end of February, we anticipate reducing that level from 48 down to about 35 vacancies, and we continue to make further progress. We have forecasted our filling of the positions through the end of the year with the anticipation of about 10 employees hired for each of the next quarters. Finally, to point out is the in-state travel. This is also a positive variance due to the realization of some efficiencies. Not only to examiner assignments, but also the training program that we instituted and some little bit of off-site examination things that we are doing. Finally, on page 24 is the agency's liquidity report, which shows our unreserved cash at 3.1 months, which is within the Finance Commission liquidity parameters. Any questions?
Members? Ms. Rodriguez.
Thank you.
Members, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2024 first quarter financial statements?
Rosie Morris, so moved.
Thank you. Second.
Hector Seven, second.
Thank you. Any discussion, members? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and motion carries. We're now going to be moving on to item E. Ms. Tika Cherry from Garza Gonzalez and Associates will present each agency. If you'll please join us this morning, thank you. And if you'll state your name for the record, go ahead.
Okay.
Please have a seat. Just state your name and your firm for the record.
My name is Chica Cherry, representing Casa Gonzalez and Associate. We are independent CPA firm from San Antonio. And we are hired by the Finance Commission agencies to perform 2024 internal audit activities. Starting page 25, we are presenting internal audit plan for all three agencies this morning. As you may know, internal audit plan needs to be approved by the governing board, which is you. Moving on to page 26, table of contents, I just want to give you the outline of this internal audit plan. The first part, through page 30 is applicable to all three agencies, followed by internal audit plan and risk assessment results for each of three agencies. And as an attachment, beginning page 38, we have a little bit detail of risk assessment summary, as well as history of areas audited in the last 10 years for your reference. Moving on to page 28, this is the part applicable to all three agencies. And here we are providing you the methodology to perform the risk assessment in preparation to internal audit plan. The internal audit plan was developed using a risk assessment approach, and where we review various documents as well as questionnaires from each of the three agencies. This year, our methodology was pretty much the same, similar to what we have done in the last year, with minor tweaks to improve our process. We reviewed and considered in our risk assessment the following documents. Those are operating budget, organizational charts, each agency's external and internal policies and procedures and processes, applicable laws and rules, audit or monitoring reports from third-party agencies such as State Auditor's Office and cybersecurity assessments performed by vendor procured through DIR. Also, prior internal audit reports, Finance Commission and Audit Committee minutes available to the public. And last but not the least, question is, which was developed for completion by the Finance Commission Chair and Commissioners, and for DOB, also by Deputy Commissioner and Division Directors and Managers for completion. And utilizing such information I just listed, we identified potential audit topics for each agency, and a risk analysis was completed for each individual potential audit topic, and compiled them together to develop the risk assessment results, and that resulted in internal audit plan. And next page, page 29, these are the eight risk factors we consider for each of the potential audit topics. These are materiality, both financial and non-financial, and time since last audit or review, results of prior audit and review, and personal changes and adequacy, policies and procedures and processes and systems, complexity of compliance requirements, susceptibility to fraud, waste, or abuse, and feedback from commission. Starting on page 31, we have the results of the risk assessment as well as the audit plan. I know that in the meeting agenda, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is listed first, but is it okay to start on
yes.
the Department of Banking? Page 31, this is the audit plan, risk assessment results and audit plan for Department of Banking. Through a risk assessment process, we identified two audits to be performed as well as the follow-up of prior year audit recommendations. In the table in the middle of the page, we have two areas identified as high risk, six areas identified as moderate risk, and nine as low risk. And the detail of this found on page 38. If you could flip the page to page 38. This is the risk assessment summary for the Department of Banking. To refresh your memory from last year, the far left column shows auditable area or potential audit topics. There are 17 in all, and they are ranked in the order of assessed overall risk. The rest of the columns, these are the risks we assessed for each of the eight risk factors which I just mentioned, based on the documents and information provided by the agency. And the far right column label total, this is the overall assessed risk for each potential audit topic weighted by the risk factor weight that is found at the near top of the table, 10%, 17%, 13%, and so on. Just for your reference, we also have attachment B1 on page 41. This is the audit history, internal audit and other types of audit and review for the last 10 years. If you could go back to page 32, based on this risk assessment results, we are recommending two audits, payroll and human resource areas, and trust examinations area. These are identified as top two high-risk area in the risk assessment summary we just went over, and as well as the follow-up of prior year internal audits. We have two audits from 2023 that had a recommendation in the corporate activities area and procurement areas, and we will follow up on the implementation status of the recommendation. And lastly, we will prepare the 2024 internal audit annual report. And if applicable, we will perform other tasks as assigned by the Finance Commission, Audit Committee, or the Executive Management of the agency. Before I move on to the Department of Savings and Mortgage Loans, should I ask for questions?
Members, do we have any questions at this point?
No questions.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Moving on to page 33 and to the 34, this is the risk assessment results and internal audit plan for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. for this department, we will perform one audit as well as the follow-up of prior year audit recommendation, internal audit recommendation. If you could skip pages to page 39, you will see that similar risk assessment summary that we presented for the Department of Banking. According to this result, we have three areas identified as high risk, three areas identified as moderate risk, and seven as low risk. And of those, mortgage grant fund administration, this is a new area we added as a potential audit topic this year. This was just established a couple of years ago, and primarily because of that, the area being never being audited, it was ranked high. We also received a recommendation for the audit of this area by the commissioner as well. And based on this result, if we will go back to page 34, here's the audit plan for next ML, which is the audit of mortgage grant fund administration area, to look at whether the procedures, policies and procedures in the area are designed and followed in adequately administering the mortgage grant fund in accordance with applicable state laws and requirements. And in addition to that, we will perform follow-up of prior year internal audit recommendation. There was only one finding in mortgage recommendation area. And we will, of course, prepare the 2024 internal audit annual report and perform other tasks if assigned. Before moving on to the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioners, should I?
Questions, members?
Any questions?
No, no questions. Okay. Please proceed. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Page 36 and, 35 and 36, here's the risk assessment result and internal audit plan for Office of Consumer Credit Commissioners. Here we are planning on one audit as well as the follow-up of prior year internal audit follow-up as well. And if you could again flip to page 40, this is the risk assessment summary for all CCC. And you will see, there are three areas identified as high risk, three as moderate risk, and six low risk. Of the three areas identified as high risk, the number one area, payroll and human resources, This was already audited in fiscal year 2023, and the reason that it's still ranked high is because, number one, there were findings to be followed up during this year, and number two, this is a year two of CAPS implementation, and that bumped the score for payroll and HR area. However, once those are looked at, the grant should be much lower in next year. And two other areas, they are ranked as 2 and 3, but actually they have the same total risk score, which are examinations and legal and enforcement. In fiscal year 2022, before we decided to combine all the examinations areas into one to make better internal audit coverage, we review regulated lenders area. However, examination area is such a wide area, big area. When we perform internal audit, we have to pick and choose the focus areas. And this is this year we wanted to cover the area that was not we were unable to closely take a look at. Why legal and enforcement was not selected this year, which this is a good question. I thought someone will ask, so I'm answering right now. But this is solely on the size of the area, that because the agency has so most of the agency's employees are examination area compared to the legal and enforcement area. Not to say that these are less significant, but that was the basis of our selection. So with that, please go back to page 36. Here's the audit plan for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. And our audit, recommended audit will be the audit of examinations area with a focus of data collection. What data collection means for us is to review the access to the data, access level to the data to ensure the authorized handling of examination data is in place. And also internal controls over the examination data collections and ensuring the validity, accuracy, and completeness of data entered into or extracted from the data to support monitoring and reporting activities. In other words, we wanted to make sure any data issues are detected in a time, there will be systems in place to ensure any issues with data issues will be timely detected and corrected. And those data are utilized as intended. And the reports are, system generated reports are reliable and so on. And in addition to that audit, we will perform follow-up of prior year internal audit recommendation. In fiscal year 2023, as mentioned, HR and payroll area was audited, and there were two findings and two observations to be followed up. And we will prepare the 2024 internal audit annual report. And that complete my presentation.
Very good thing. I know for a fact that our three agencies will work very closely with you in open door policy. So if we can do anything else to assess, let us know. Thank you for your time today. Members, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's fiscal year 2024 internal auditor's risk assessment and audit plan?
So
Richard Morris, so moved.
Dr. Sedlin, second.
Thank you. Members, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it, motion carries. Be moving on to item F, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of points on the activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment. Our grant cycle for the 2022-2023 grant term ended on December 31st. And so on January 1st, we started the new 2024-2025 grant cycle. And so preliminary activities, I mean, those grantees are off and running, but we've just been doing a lot of administrative tasks with closing down one cycle and opening up the new cycle. And that's really all I have to report for you.
And just a point, I know several of our commission members were excited to see that that limit has been raised on the amount of the grant. So we're very good to make that happen this next cycle. So thank you very much.
We're excited about that too.
Yeah, thank you.
And some good grantees we've got that we're funding this time. And last time too.
Sure, absolutely. Commissioner Retta.
Yes, on the mortgage grant fund, it concluded the second semi-annual reporting reimbursement period at the end of the year. And then down below, we show the timeline for the 2025-2026 grant cycle. And we should be adhering to that closely on course reporting on that every time we meet.
Thank you very much. Members, we're now moving on to item H, which is the Texas Department of Banking. And we will need to do this section into a executive session. And for the record, it is now 9:01. And attending for the Texas Department of Banking are Commissioner Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, General Counsel Robert Nichols, Chief Information Officer Jesse Garcia, Information Security Officer Daniel Drum, Assistant Attorney General Martin Kohick from the Office of the Attorney General, and Commissioner, is there anyone else we need to add? We're anticipating the executive session lasting approximately 20 minutes and it will take place in the adjacent conference room, and we will now adjourn into executive session. It's now 9:15 a.m., February 16th, 2024, and the Audit Committee meeting is now back in open session. We did not take any action during the closed session, so therefore being no further business of the meeting of the Audit Committee of Finance Commission of Texas, we now adjourn at 9:15.